Father, we just thank you that we can come together today and just thank you for what you've done for each and every one of us. And just pray that you would give me a clear mind and help me to speak the things that would be glorifying to you and needed by somebody here. Amen.
Well, I wasn't exactly asked to speak. We have a prayer meeting, Angie and Melody and Grace and Krista and I, usually every other week. And Angie was talking about speakers and then she about how she needed some more people to talk. And then she went out of the room and I was thinking, oh, I don't want. It was like, well, you know, you could just give your testimony. And then she comes back in the room and is like, well, if you want me to, I will. Well, I grew up right around this area. As long as I can remember, my parents were both Christians. It wasn't that way when I was born, but in my most recent memory, I don't remember anything else. And so as long as I can remember, I had Christian influence in my life. And then around the time I think when I was around 6, I remember waking up scared during the middle of the night. I don't know if it was a thunderstorm or something. I remember my mom coming in and I prayed a prayer then, but nothing was changed or anything. And I just kept going on and whatever. And then when I was around 8 years old, our family was in a very serious car accident. And one of my sisters nearly died. And God was merciful to us and brought us through that. And then right around 6 months after that, we had known Konjerskis for a while. My dad kind of grew up with their dad and everything. He was a little bit younger than, my dad was a little bit younger than him. And my dad knew he wanted more out of Christianity than he was getting at the place we were going. And we did Bible study with them and everything. And then, but when I was like 8 and a half, we started church with them. And I mean, it was during that time where I heard about our responsibility before God and everything. During this time, I was still in public school. I loved being there to learn. I loved the learning, but I did not. I was very shy, and the kids were very mean. And I hated riding the bus, and I hated the playground. My sister and my cousin and I would just stick around together, and which, in a way, I'm glad for that now, that I was one of the shy, backward ones, that I wasn't the popular one. It saved me from a lot of things that could have happened. Then skipping forward a couple of years, when I was about 11, there was a sermon preached at our church, and it was titled As a Little Child, and Glenn was just preaching about how we kids can be saved, and that we have to come to him as a child. And it sparked conviction among most of the younger kids in the church. I don't know if anyone is actually saved at that time, but for a good 6 months or so, I'd be always confessing this and that thing to my mom. I'd wake up during the middle of the night thinking about something, and then I couldn't go back to sleep unless I talked to my mom about it. And And then, so I was starting to understand that I wasn't good. But then a little bit after that, I had this notion, well, you know, I have to make myself better, you know. And soon found out that I really couldn't, you know. I'm the oldest, and I was always the one that wanted to please my parents and everything. And other than being a sassy little brat, I didn't cause my parents that much, you know, grief. I wasn't one that was rebellious against them. I mean, I was in some ways, but, you know, I didn't show it. And then a couple years later, this would have been, I think, another 4 years later, so I would have been like 14, 15 at this time. Three of my sisters professed salvation and got baptized, but I didn't. And I don't exactly know what was standing in my way. I think some of it was I didn't exactly understand how God actually loved us, you know. And off and on, I had people talk to me about how I should get saved and everything. And I, you know, most people get saved when they're, by the time they're teenagers, and you shouldn't wait. And of course, I had plenty of problems sleeping during the night and everything during this time. And then God brought someone in to our church for a short time that had reached out to me, and I didn't talk a lot to her. I didn't have a lot of opportunity, but I began to see more and more, like, you know, some people do care for us. I really didn't feel accepted at church even. We had difficulties going on in our church at that time, and it wasn't pretty. And it was right after that my sisters got baptized that we went through a nasty church split, which I was totally confused during the whole thing. And I tried to distance myself, and I didn't ever was one that liked dealing with things. You know, I'll just kind of shove it, and things will get okay, be okay and everything. And meanwhile, this person moved away, but her mom ended up dying, and she came back for the funeral, and she happened to come over to our house and spend the night, and she had to sleep in my room with me. And so she's just asking me, you know, what was standing in the way and everything. And I don't remember all that I said, but I just remember the conversation sticking with me. And then it wasn't for another couple months that at church, I have to find it, there was a sermon preached. Find the passage. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And going down to Ephesians 6 verse 16, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And he was just preaching about how if Satan comes at you, you can take the shield of faith, and you can just say, God said this, and this is what he says, and the devil will leave you. Well, that really stuck with me that night. It was a Sunday night, and during this time, we also had this tape that was called Voices from the Past. There was a bunch of old preachers and everything, and there were a bunch of gospel messages on it. And I just remember it all dawning on me how God, it was all paid, and that God loves us. And then they sang the song, Jesus Paid It All. I think I finished listening to that tape upstairs. I was the only one up at our house that night. And I went down to my room, and I probably tried to go to sleep, but then I prayed and cried out to God, and He saved me then. I don't know and then I remember getting up the next day, and I hadn't said anything. And I think it was the next day or day after that, my mom asked me something about it. She said, you're different. But I also remember that we had, at that time, we had the church here, and there had been a church, two different other churches. While that Wednesday after that happened, we found out that one of the churches completely separated from us, and they weren't going to have anything to do with us, and it was terrible. I mean, I did have a friend out there. I mean, I wasn't really close to her, but of course, you know, that's what happened right after. And it was hard. And then I still writing to that friend back and forth, but then come the next spring, her husband more or less cut us all off from them, and I haven't talked to her since, and that was many, many years ago. But sometimes God just brings somebody in your life for a short time that He knows that you need. And then I had plenty of ups and downs. It seemed like more downs than ups. I didn't exactly grasp how God really loved us and everything, and I knew that following Christ was the right thing, and it kept me from a lot of stuff, but I didn't really have many of the feelings. And I found during that time that, you know, well, even now, that when you're discouraged, it often leads you to sin. You know, because you just feel down. It's like, well, it doesn't matter. God doesn't care for me, so whatever. So we need to be looking out for other people and encourage them. We're commanded to bear each other's burdens. It's a responsibility from both sides. If you're going through a hard time, sometimes other people won't know anything about it unless you say something to them. But also, we should be seeking others out. And I'm speaking that to myself because I am very guilty of just dealing with what I'm dealing with and not looking to everybody else. And when it was about this time I started my first real job, my one and only real job. And I remember before I started working that, I remember praying that if there was someone that I could help, that God would let me have the job. But I wasn't one to get close to people, but there were a couple of different people that sometimes you just kind of click with them. And they aren't always the best influence either. So be careful who you hang around. And people either drag you down or they will lift you up. I know sometimes that when I was trying to, at times I professed that I was, you know, trying to reach out to these people, but really didn't amount to a whole lot. I do remember my sister at one point saying to me that, telling me that I shouldn't, you know, hang out at all with people from work. You have these people from church, and I gave her some lame excuse about something. I don't remember what it was now, but it was also during this time I had always thought I kind of had my life planned out. I had, or so I thought, you know, being in my late teens, I thought, oh, you know, 2022, I'll get married and I'll have a family and everything will be roses and everything. Well, it didn't happen that way. I very much struggled with, first of all, when my sister Nikki got married. I'm the oldest and I should be the first one. I didn't learn that much about surrendering all those things to the Lord. And I continued a couple of years after that because during one of the youth meetings, found out that one of my sisters had gotten engaged. Then during the youth meetings that same summer, my other sister did. So here we are. It's like, it was terrible. So I very much struggled with rejoicing with those that rejoiced. And I more or less blamed God that I didn't have victory. I might not have said it outright, but that's really what it was. And over the past, I also have written down, be careful what you read and think about. You never know where it's going to lead your thoughts. I mean, it might not be necessarily, I didn't get into, I was mostly into reading the Bible and books, you know, decent books and everything. But, you know, if you want to, your mind can go wherever. And then I didn't like dealing with the things going on in my life and the fact that I just did things just to kind of block stuff out because I just didn't want to deal with it. And I was pretty miserable. And I had my, like I said before, I had my ups and downs during this time. And I always struggled with, you know, what's my purpose? You know, I'm just living the same old boring life day to day. Nothing is changing. I'm just here living at home and working my job and going to church, and I do the same thing over and over and over and over and over again, and it get quite boring. And then, I guess fast forward to last year, camp was amazing last year. And I owe thanks to Jenny for the messages on the doors. And the one that was about doors being ajar, I realized that there were things in my life that I was leaving doors ajar, especially one specific area. And I determined that I could not allow it to go on in my life. The fact was the temptation was really there. The problem was not that I could not have victory. It was that I was playing at it. I knew I should have victory, and I kind of wanted it, but I really didn't. I still wanted it, wanted what I, the other things more than I wanted victory. In order to have victory, you need to sincerely want it. And here I thought, when I went through this, it's like, you know, I am going to have such a difficult time, and I do not know how I am going to do it or anything. And actually, when I made up my mind with God's help, it's like, you know, it really wasn't hard. It's like in a way God took away the temptation. I mean, yeah, it's not that I haven't fallen at all or anything, but God gave me the grace, and He knew what I needed. And the thing is, if you do fall, don't get back up and go to God and just confess it. He does love us. You know, that's the thing when the devil tries to get you down, because when you fall, oh, you are so bad. Well, yeah, we are so bad, and we know it, but God knows all about what we're going through, and He'll take us back to whatever. And as this past year has just been, of course, there have been downs, but, you know, I can sincerely say that this past year has just been probably one of the better years in my life. And I would just like to encourage all of you to seek God. His promises are true. He will help you in whatever you're going through. And ask others to pray for you. That is a huge blessing. That's one thing I have found also during the past year. It's just amazing just to have people that you can get together and pray with. And also, I've also been one that hasn't really liked to share much of what was going on in my life. I just like keeping things in to myself. I'm not one to talk a lot and blab everything out. But, you know, I have found it very much a help to either talk or write to friends, and just sometimes just telling somebody what's going on, even without them saying anything, it helps just getting it out, the fact that somebody else knows what you're going through. They might not say anything to you, but... And I also thank God for bringing Vicki to camp last year. She reached out to me, and we had amazing times praying together, and she's become a very good friend of mine, and I just thank God for her. And I just also thank God for my many friends here that have been along with me. I think of Angie. As I close with prayer, Father, just thank You that we can come. Thank You that You care about us. And I just do pray that You would be with each one here, that You would speak to hearts, that each one here would know You and that they would see who they are before you and who you are, and that you love them and care for them. Just be with the remainder of our day. Amen.